Today's daycare center massacre in Thailand points again to just how rare these mass shootings are outside of the United States, where this year alone there have been more than 500. Survivors of Norway's deadliest ever massacre in 2011 are urging the U.S. to tighten gun laws to try to end school shootings. Across the border from Norway in Sweden, sporadic gang-fueled gun crime just helped to install a far-right anti-immigrant party into power. Both countries have relatively high levels of gun ownership, but low levels of gun-related homicides. Special correspondent Malcolm Brabin went to Scandinavia to see if there are lessons America can learn.
At long last, Norway has a national memorial for the worst attack on its soil since World War II. At this summer's inauguration, friends honoured the 69 young victims massacred 11 years ago on the island of Utøya by right-wing extremist Anders Breivik.
Elisabeth Trønes Lie.
Elisabeth Trønes Lie was 16 years old when she was murdered. Her sister Catherine, then 17, was one of 110 wounded. On the anniversary of the shooting, Catherine posted this image, revealing the exit wound of the round that nearly claimed her life. The everlasting torment of their mother, Marit, is plain to see. Painting provides an outlet for grief and anger from having just two daughters, Catherine and Victoria, instead of three.
This is a painting of my daughters, sisters. Those two I have left. They are comforting each other, and that gives me comfort that they have each other, now that Elizabeth is gone.
What do you think every time you hear that there's been a massacre in America?
I can feel the pain. I really feel it. I can't understand why every American should own a gun and be able to buy a gun. Why?
Here's a comparison between America and Norway in 2020, which was the worst ever year for gun-related deaths in the United States. In America that year, there were 19,384 gun homicides. In Norway, just two. Yes, two. America's population is 60 times that of Norway, so if you were to transfer Norway's figures to the United States, there would have been just 120 deaths instead of nearly 20,000.
Having stood in the wrong end of the gun of a mass shooter is not an experience anyone should ever have.
After surviving Utøya, Bjørn Ihle, now 31, has devoted his life to promoting peace and countering extremism. He hasn't stepped foot on the island since 2014, when he went back with me to the place where the shooter fired at him and missed.
Breivik pointed his gun at me and he fired, and for a moment there I knew I was dead, basically. I collapsed in the water. I guess he just assumed he had hit me or something like that, because he continued just shooting people around me.
When he's not trying to de-radicalize right-wing or Islamic extremists, Ihle lives in the Nordic woods. Tranquility soothes his trauma.
Many of my friends were killed in the attack, and my entire country was changed forever by it.
Go!
Espen Farstad represents Norway's Hunters Association. He's happy that post-Utøya legislation outlawed automatic, semi-automatic and high-caliber pistols and rifles.
We are very safe. We have 1.3 million guns, civil guns, in the Norwegian society. That means one for every four Norwegian. But we hardly see any crimes.
Norway has some of the world's toughest gun laws. Shotguns and hunting rifles can be purchased following stringent background checks and extensive training. Firearms are seen here primarily as tools for hunting. Farstad believes Americans should emulate Norwegians and tackle what he calls the paranoia of guns for self-defense.
They are playing with their own kids' lives, and I don't think they take it seriously enough. And I think it's sad to see that a heavy organization like the National Rifle Association keep on working like they do for their weapon interest without seeing the big problems they are causing in the society.
But it's impossible for America to be as safe as Norway unless the constitutional right to bear arms is modified. Bjørn Ihle believes the Founding Fathers' intentions, written in an era of single-shot muskets, have been misinterpreted.
I do think there needs to be a change in the culture surrounding guns. Demilitarization, disarmament, really should be the natural conclusion at this point, especially considering the way in which firearms have changed and we now have a much higher degree of high-capacity weapons.
Target practice with a customized AR-15, the weapon of choice for many American mass murderers. In Sweden, it's only available for purchase by sports shooters like champion markswoman Pia Klerte. Across the border from Norway, Sweden also enforces restrictive gun controls. To be granted a Swedish gun license, applicants must be of good character and law-abiding. Hunting and sports guns can only be obtained after 6 months' assessment at a certified club, and then gun owners are monitored by the police every 24 hours.
There is a registry check if you have done any crimes or suspected for any crimes, anything like that. And it can be things like driving too fast or being too drunk in a restaurant, for instance, or in a bar. Those kind of things would make the police check if you have a gun.
Such misdemeanors could result in both gun and license being forfeited. Pierre Ferté believes Sweden's gun laws are tough enough.
In terms of the legal gun owners with a license in Sweden, I would say that is one of the most law-abiding groups as a whole in the Swedish society. Whereas on the other side, you have people who obviously don't care about killing other people, so they are not going to care about having an illegal gun.
Klerte is referring to the gang wars, which in recent years have exploded across Swedish inner cities. In this video, posted on social media, young gangsters show off their Kalashnikov. The rounds hit an empty restaurant in Stockholm, and no one was hurt in this snapshot of Sweden's dark underbelly. Most experts are convinced that the battlegrounds of former Yugoslavia are the source of most illegal weapons. Once smugglers enter the frontier-free European Union, reaching Sweden is easy. Professor Magnus Ranstorp from Sweden's Defence College is an expert on the illegal arms trade.
For example, in Malmö, you can buy automatic weapons for about 10,000, 15,000 Swedish krona, which is about $1,000. You usually get thrown in a couple of hand grenades for free.
Apart from the gang problem, is Sweden a safe country?
Most people are not worried about their family members getting shot, unless they are in socially vulnerable areas, unless they are somehow wrapped up in gang conflict.
That perception was undermined by this hit in a busy mall in Malmö, southern Sweden, on August 19, in which a well-known gang leader was killed. A 39-year-old woman, totally unconnected to the feud, was caught in the spray of bullets. With national elections fast approaching, gun crime and the involvement of teenagers is now a hot issue. The alleged shooter, arrested near the scene, was just 15 years old.
As this is like a spiral of violence, you have to cool the conflict down.
Karen Svanberg heads the Swedish government's inner city crime prevention unit. She acknowledges that Sweden was slow to react to gun violence. It's now applying more robust policing and tougher jail terms.
If you are a violent group, you will get in the focus of the attention from the police. So that creates internal pressure within the group to calm down the conflict.
But Swedes rejected the former centre-left government's light touch on gun crime. With murder rates heading to record highs, in last month's general election, voters turned to a right-wing coalition which promised to get tough on gang crime. There are fears the violence may spread to Norway, a nation desperate for peace after Utøya. After hiding in this kitchen, fleeing through the woods to a beach and being rescued by a boat, Utøya survivor Torbjørn Vereide is in a prime position to shape Norway's future. Now a member of parliament and carrying a torch for his murdered friends, Vereide has this advice for America.
I respect that some people value the right to own and carry guns, but I think that the value of life, the value of the children, the value of the adults that are getting killed every day now is more important and that we have to decide which principle is the most important.
It took just one mass shooting for Norway to tighten up gun control. There's bewilderment here that America won't follow suit. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Malcolm Brabant in Norway.